I shared this in a message here about a year ago. His bride and his body, he calls us. Is there anything you love more than your bride or your own body? That's the metaphor he uses to tell us how he thinks about us. His church, his ecclesia. His bride and his body. How intimate is that? And if we are to have the mind of Christ, then we have to feel this love he has for his bride in us, burning in us as well. And one of the biggest lies that the enemy has, and especially in the times that we're living in, is that he removes the love for the church from our hearts. He contests against it. But imagine we could love his ecclesia as he does. We have to at least say, oh God, if I have to have your mind, then, and it's not that way, would you break me in? Heal me. Jesus, Jesus' holiness makes him the most compassionate being there is. How can I say that? The more holy you become in your walk with the Lord, the more holy you become, the more compassion you find in your heart towards brokenness and sinfulness. Isn't that so? The closer you come to God, the more tears come out when you see brokenness and sinfulness around you. We see that as our holiness increases, our compassion increases. Imagine the compassion on your sinful state by the Most Holy. He's drawn to our brokenness so much that he left his glory and came to earth. He's drawn to it. He doesn't run away from your mess. He's right in your mess. I'm a mess as well. He's right there. That's why he loves the church. Can you love the church even though it's messy? He's calling us to that. He's calling us to be like him. I want to anchor this message again as I anchored my message 2-3 weeks ago. In God's ancient paths, I got, this is the word from Heinrich Titus, ancient paths, long ago, but I only got it recently, and now I'm on this train. It took me a year and a half, but maybe you would get this year. This word would maybe be revelation to you in a year and a half, and then hopefully before that. But I felt coming to you that we need to explore these ancient paths, these two specific ancient paths. So one we spoke about last time, Sabbath, and the one we're going to speak about this time, Ecclesia. It's ways in which God designed us and life to function. Designed it like this. And he's calling us to see the design, to take the design, make it our own, and walk in it. That's the ancient path. So ancient paths for anything. I mean, any decision, anytime you come to a crossroads, you can go to the next slide. Anytime we come to a crossroads, it is a place where we need to make a decision. The Word of God calls us and says, don't just walk. Don't turn left or right. You must stand and look and ask for the ancient paths. God, how do you see this? God, what is the way that you set it up from the beginning of the world? Often we charismatics, we think it's a new way and a new thing every time. And very often it's just not like that. There's certain things that God set up at creation. It's still like that. Such ancient paths. Marriage, Sabbath, ecclesia. A lot of those things. Find his ancient path in it. What a wonderful testimony we have in I touched marriage now. But they say the marriage, the divorce statistic in the world is like 50% or something like that. And then there's always this little add-on statistic that I say, Johan, it's the same in the church. That's absolute rubbish. Depends what you call the church. The church group that I'm a part of, I know of guys who's married 300 to 400 people over the last 30 years, of whom only 2 or 3 have divorced. Last time I checked, 2. That's our statistic. Because there's his ancient paths. And if you would walk in them, he's so gracious, if you'd walk in them even more or less, you'd be all right. So stand at the crossroads and look, ask for his ancient paths. Ask where the good way is, and don't be self-righteous for the fact that you have the knowledge. Walk in it, and you'll find what? Rest for your soul. The world says we'll find rest for our soul if we have enough money. He says ask for his ancient paths and walk in it, and you'll find rest, with or without money. But you said, we will not walk in it. That's the state of us. We can learn from the Israelites, and also we're filled with the Holy Spirit. So we can learn from the Israelites, and we see that they said, we'll not walk in it. Oh, and it ended bad. Went into exile. Because God's a holy God. You can't play around with these, with the way he designed things. After 70 years, he's going to say no more. And there will have to be discipline. There will have to be, in those times, punishment. Jesus bore our punishment, but he still disciplines us for our good. Is my mic on? Can you hear me? Okay. So ask God for the ancient path, the way he's designed things. And one of these ancient paths that I felt to speak about tonight specifically is the ancient path of Ecclesia. Now, Ecclesia, you would know this, it's translated in English as church. Yes. It's translated as church in the English Bible. That's a very unfortunate translation, however, because the word church means a few things that the word ecclesia does not mean at all. So the word church means what ecclesia means, because we say, no. We kind of pulled back the definition of church and says, and we said, well, it still means what ecclesia meant. But church is also a building. There is no other English word for the building. It's called a church. But that gets confusing. So when I read the Bible, I try not to read church. I try to read ecclesia. It was a non-religious term that Jesus used when he referred to his followers. When he said, you are Peter, and on this rock I'll build my ecclesia. It was not a term for religious gathering. It was not a term for religious ceremony, anything like that. It was a military and political term. It was a secular term in that way that Jesus used there very specifically. It means, it's made up of the words ek and kaleo. Ek means to come out of something, and kaleo means to call. So it's those that he called out of darkness. Those that he called out of towards himself, those are the ecclesia. It is, if you look at the definition, well, it's could be summarized to say, it is the collective of those he called, and also the gathering of those he called. If I would call all the listed army guys and say, hey, you must gather, and they would come, and they'd all be here, I would say, this is the ecclesia. Right? That would be an ecclesia. The gathering itself is an ecclesia. But us, the collective of us, is also an ecclesia. And that's always in a local context. So this universal church thing that you do online, that's not it. But that's just a quick definition. Now I want us to read 1 Corinthians 12 from verse 12 to 26, but I've chosen certain excerpts of it. I'm not going to read all of it. And then we're going to dig into it a little bit. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them. Every one of them! Are you excluded? No. Just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would be the body? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Look to your neighbor and say, I don't need you. I'm just joking. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts we think less honorable, we treat with special honor. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. In the first portion, we read, and it says that we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body. Every local expression, every local ecclesia forms a body. This is 1 Corinthians 12, you know, also for the gifts, right? It first speaks about body, speaks about local expression, and then how the gifts manifest within such a local environment. And 1 Corinthians 14 gives more of the technical details on how the local gatherings should be managed. If there's a tongue, two or three should interpret what. So it's within the context of the local that this is written. We are to form one body. Now, the Western context, the Western world tells you, no, that you on your own are a whole. Here it seems to say that you on your own are not a whole, but a part of. And you might be at risk to think that the fact that you are a part of and not a whole like you thought you were diminishes your value. Yet if you think about it carefully, it increases it a lot. Because if you were a whole on your own, you could argue that you're not that needed right here, now. But if you are a part of, cannot function without you. It increases your value drastically and keeps you humble at the same time. Then we don't serve because it's good for me, and at times it's not so good for me. I don't come to church because it's good for me. And if I don't come, who cares? No, I come because I might be an appendix. I might be a little toe. And its service might be required. I'm there, a part of the body. And God chose everyone with a function. Would you not immediately, if you, as a body, would wake up one day and your one eye is just not working. Your left hand is just not working. And your knee seems to wobble. Would you just say, another normal day, let me go to work without my hand and eye today? Wouldn't you freak out? I hope you would cry out to God before you call the specialists. But I mean, something's wrong. It's the same in a local context. One day God spoke to me and he said that I shouldn't try to be all things to all men to those who are already saved. You know, the scripture says you do all things to all men so that by any means some might be saved. So it's to unsaved people that Paul was, you know, trying to engage them in every way. He said, don't try to be all things to all men to those who are already saved. Because each one is a part of the body and they've got a role to play. So do you. We should immediately stop everything to make sure that all our God-ordained members are functioning properly. Next one. This might be you. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, you can go to ones that's underlined. That's just after that. I repeated them just with headings and with underline, yeah. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason make it, for that reason, stop being a part of the body. I'm not a hand. I'm not like Retief and Edna. They're very prophetic. They're crazy. They've got these, this radical faith thing going. And I'm just a boring teacher, you know, who loves to study church history and stuff. But I don't know if I fit into this church. We need you. Look to your neighbor and say, we need you. Just because you don't fit the church, if you feel you don't fit the church box, we maybe need you more than you think. Because you don't, we're not getting that. You hear things and see things that others don't. The words that they bring and the words you hear are not the same. Bring a word. We can't all bring the same word. We've got this false thing of if it's from God, then the word has to be exactly the same. Then it's from God. No. It has to, like, you could hear the whole from all these words. You could put them together, but it was very different. The way that they came. You cannot say, because I'm different, I'm not a part. It's the enemy that's lying to you. Don't fall for that lie. You are needed. And the next one, it says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. you know, eyes and hands can be at odds with each other. I can imagine the eye being full of dust. He freaking out. Eye full of dust. Ah! I cannot see! The hand can be arrogant and say, dust, what's wrong with you? I work with it the whole day. It does nothing to me. Dust doesn't touch me. I touch dust. But if you would only understand that your function is to use your hand to take out the dust from the eye so that the eye can see, because you don't know where you're going. You don't know what. And in the same way, if it's really cold, really cold, and the hand goes, oh, I can't move. It's so cold. And the eye's like, it's cold? What's your problem? I can see perfectly fine when it's cold. Stupid weak hand. Just tell the hand where the fire is so you can go there. We cannot say to each other, we don't need each other. Look to your neighbor and say, I need you. And if you are married, say, I need you, oh baby, oh baby. You are needed. We can skip the next slide, what constitutes a church, and go to the next one. So, are you a member? Well, have you signed your membership form? That's very important, admin, to do. But I want to tell you something. You, by being born again, are a member. You cannot not be a member. You are some kind of a member. Maybe you're a pinky on your own, like partying around. You're still a member. Are you plugged in? I don't know. But you are a member. Be a member. Your identity is a member. It's who you are. There's a lot of pinkies hanging around in the world, being plugged into some kind of a universal church or some friendship circle that they call
church. It's not it. The only real deal is a local expression with apostolically appointed elders that lead a group of people who come together. That's a local church. You're called as a member of one of those to fulfill your role. You're desperately needed. We all want to be needed. And here that need is completely met. Just find your role. Then you might say, well, my call, I know my call from God. I despise this broken church. I run a wonderful business for Jesus. And it takes all my time. And by the way, I'm starting an NGO as well. So I honestly don't have time for church. Wonderful, what do? I do what I do. And it's kingdom stuff, you know. Wonderfully, you can go to the next slide. Wonderful, but somewhat deceived. If I offend you, I'm not sorry. As a member, you are called to the body, right? If the hand runs off on its own, A, it doesn't have the spiritual support it needs to do what the hand's supposed to do, and it's going to run into walls and all kinds of chaos. And B, if you think of this, if you are doing your work and all of a sudden your leg starts cramping, what are you going to do? You're going to stop your work, you're going to grab your leg. So the hand's first call, if you just look to your own body, your first call is not to your work, it's to your own body. Are you going to say, hey leg, what's wrong with you? Oh, I just got broken. Oh, well, I'm working. No way. You're going to go, my first call to the body, right? Every believer's first call as a member is to the body. Do good to everyone, it says, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So your call is definitely to the world out there, something. And definitely to the local body, something. It's not the one or the other, it is always both. Has to be both. You are the light of the world, and you are a member. Are you being the member you are? Are you being the member you are? We can skip the next slide as well and go to what members have. Members in a local church have the opportunity to have what the world longs for: community, relationships, family, support, home and family. God spoke to us a while back about being a home in the city, because Cape Town is not very homey, so we want to make it warm and homey. Like when you go eat at Edna's, it's warm and homey. We want to make our church like that. Tables as pulpits, warm, homey vibes, that's what we feel. So home in the city is one of our slogans, and now we're linking up with the church in Portugal, whose name is Casa de Cidade, which is home in the city. That's got exactly the same vision in Lisbon, which is really cool. Just a random story. You've got a home and a family. It's eternal. It's God ordained. You'll only have this if you're all in. And your biological family, isn't it also slightly messy? But are you always there when there's a wedding, when there's a thing? Oh, and then you always come, you always shed a few tears, even though it's that cousin that you really don't like. Isn't that so? Because you were all in. You've just always been all in. Are you all in? to your home and your family, it's eternal. You know that you should work really hard in your biological family, because if they do not believe before they perish, then me and you will be eternal family, but you and them won't. You have a place for instruction and correction. This is why a lot of people run away from church, because they don't like it. We don't like in the Western world for someone to say, no, you can't do that. You shouldn't marry that person. I don't think you should take that job. We don't like that. We don't like correction. We don't like instruction. But oh, do we need it? You've got intercessory cover. In this church, I know, Retief and Edna prays. I don't pray as much. The people in our church, we've got other intercessors that we've raised up. I don't pray as much. But they pray for you. When there's a need, you'll be cared for and protected. And you get access to a lot of cool kingdom partnerships and networks. And then, what members do? You are a member. What does members do? Members gather habitually. Hebrews 10:25 says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints, as is the habit of some. That's verse 25. You know what verse 26 says? Or first let me say, if the word of God says do not and you do, then it's a sin, right? So if it says do not neglect and you neglect, then it's a sin. Then verse 26 actually says, for if we continue to sin deliberately, then no sacrifice for sin remains, but only a fearful expectation of the fires that will consume the enemies of God. Oh. Whoopsie. Willful sin gets you into big trouble, and not gathering as a habit is willfully sinning. And if you haven't heard it before, you've heard it now. If you haven't read it before, I just told you, I'm so sorry for saying that. Now you know it. When you are not at church or not at small group, you must remember this. You are called to be there. Always. The only time you're not there is when Jesus led you otherwise. Who do you follow? Jesus. Jesus said, you must gather. If you're not there, where did he lead you? If I ask you on Monday, if you weren't at church, I said, how did your following of Jesus lead you somewhere else? I'm rather excited to know. Because it was more amazing than the fellowship of the saints at the local gathering. I'm being honest. We're talking holiness. Or are we going to continue to just fool around with our normal lives? Say, whatever, I come to church when it's good for me. No, the Word of God says, you gather and you bring what you have, all of it. You serve. You bring your gift and you serve each other. Find a place to serve. Where are you serving? Are you serving? All of you must be serving. It's not only some that serve. Everyone, if you're a member, you must serve. How are you going to function in your role as a member if you don't serve? How am I going to function as a hand if I don't serve the body? Then I'm not functioning. So you are functioning, you have to be serving somehow. Even if the thing in which you should serve doesn't yet exist, then just start serving in it. We are called to give, for God so loved the world that he gave. Well, one of his primary love languages is giving. We are called to give. We are called to make sure that those around us have no need. It says, sell your possessions, give them to the poor. It says in Acts 2 and in Acts 4 that the church, there was no needy among them. Because whoever had something sold it, if someone else had a need, they would supply that need. But in our culture, we say, oh, if you hurt Pete who's in church with us, he can't afford school fees for his kids. Oh, shame. While you're on your way to a holiday in Turkey. It shouldn't be so. And I'm not saying that lightly. That's horrendous. A lot of us have got storehouses, financial storehouses, while the ministry is looking after the vulnerable and the local church, just always in want. But your retirement's fine, even though Jesus said, like, do not worry about tomorrow. You're worried about tomorrow. Oh, no, you're not. You're worried about 60 years in the future, 40 years, 20 years. The world's teaching us all kind of nonsense. You have to give. By the way, if you're in any way convicted about this, we need quite a bit more for our mission to Portugal that's leaving on Saturday. So if you have to give something, we really need. And it's worthwhile. What members do as well, they submit to the leaders and you build with us. That's how it works. Scripture teaches us, Hebrews 13. You submit and obey to the leaders. Your attitude of your heart, you need to understand that authority is delegated to the elders of a local congregation. And if they say something strongly on their hearts, you are right to come to them and say, hey, I sense something different. This is what I feel. This is what I think. If they say, wow, that's amazing, like they are, and include that, then awesome. If they say, no, we're going to do X, you get your heart there completely. Because that little thing of, oh, okay, well, then whatever. That little rebellion in your heart, rebellion, I've seen it recently. It destroys churches. It destroys marriages. It's witchcraft. That's what it is. You get your heart in order and submit to your leaders. And what do? Members make disciples. You invest in relationships up and down. Make sure you're seeing someone that's walked longer than you. If they're not in this church, I don't care. You find them. Make sure you find that. You find someone that sees you monthly, every 2 weeks, that can speak into your life and ask you anything, into your marriage, ask you anything, and talk to you about anything. And you make sure that you trust God. Ask God, God, who can I spend time with? Who can come and live with us? That's what you do. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. Now, I know, and I just want to pray over us right now. We don't have a lot of time left, but I know that some of us here might not respond that well to a hard-hitting message on local church because it hits a wound that's already hurting. So you're a little bit angry and disorientated by the mere fact that I'm saying these things in this way, which I'm not that pastoral, and I'm really sorry for that. I really am. I acknowledge that. And I know that we cannot leave it like that. The church can't afford it, and you can't afford it either. Make sure to reach out to someone and pray through it and seek God for healing in that space so that you can climb in and be all in and not be scared to be all in again and then it happens again. You're going to get hurt like Jesus was hurt by his disciples. You're going to get hurt. You people are going to offend you. They're going to disappoint you. They might even betray you like Peter betrayed Jesus. But if you can grow in your love for the church, you would cry but not run. Maybe you've got a commitment issue and you've just been floating around. I'm telling you, that's spiritual suicide. You're going to die. Don't do it. If you've just been coming to church whenever you feel like it, and obviously I'm preaching to the choir, but I hope everyone else could listen to this also. After you've heard this, you know that it would be willful sinning for you to not gather regularly. And that leaves you in a bad space. So you're always at church unless Jesus leads you. Otherwise, you're committed. There might be a space for repentance as well. If you realize any of these things. So this is actually my ministry slide. I think we've got 4 minutes left. So what I would, 3 minutes left now. So what I would like you guys to do is to turn to those next to you, 2 or 3, and quickly share with them what's on your heart with regards to this, and pray over each other. And then, if you don't have to leave by 4:15 and you're still praying, we're going to have you continue pray. And if you have to leave for your kids in the next 3 minutes, then please make sure that you do. Is that fine? So we can all pray for each other. Father, I pray right now that you would speak healing to our hearts, that you would just a sense of being enlisted in an army, that you would stir in us. I ask for this in Jesus' name as we pray for each other. Speak to those around you and pray for each other. 2 by 2, max 3. Each one get a chance to share, and then you pray into that. Is that clear? Enjoy.